listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello, thank you for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming to you live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. You'll never know until you try. This was the prayer response my guest today received when discerning a possible vocation to the priesthood. Today, as a priest of 40 years, he still sees the wisdom in that response. You'll never know until you try. I'd like to welcome now Father Thomas Petrie, a pastor of St. Anthony Parish in Columbus. Father Petrie, thank you for joining us on Answering the Call.
You're welcome, Elizabeth. Good to be here.
I am so delighted that we can honor you for decades of service to the church through your vocation as priest. So first of all, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you, and thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for that. We love our priests, and especially priests like yourself who have served us for so long. So let's kind of look, take this opportunity to honor your life, look back at your life, and we'll start with the beginnings, of course. And for the beginning of your life, we have to go all the way down to Portsmouth, Ohio. So tell us first something about the your family, the Catholic nature of the family you grew up in.
Well, it was strong. The house that we lived in, that I lived in for my whole life, in my youth, was from the front steps of my house, I could see the Catholic Church, St. Mary of the Annunciation, and from St. Mary's, you could see right into our house, you know, about a block away. And so it was just, it was always the central part of my life. And so my mom and dad, both Catholic. My mother was a convert from the Methodist faith, and she brought a lot of love for the Bible and for prayer to our family. And she actually, I remember her leading us in May devotions, which was a far step, I think, for a Methodist bred woman to pray the rosary with her Catholic children, but it was good.
Big family?
Yes, absolutely. Three girls, three boys.
And where were you in that big family?
Well, I had two sisters and a brother older, so I was fourth from the oldest, and so I was one of those lost middle children.
I can relate, Father. So Catholic family, Catholic parents, sounds like some devotions, you know, the devotion to Mary, the rosary, and your parish, as you mentioned, you were literally in the shadow of your parish, St. Mary of the Annunciation Catholic Church in Portsmouth. And I would imagine then you were involved in your parish as well?
Absolutely. Well, the whole family was involved. My father was very involved in the parish, and he was mechanic by trade, but my dad could do anything. He was a carpenter. He was pretty much everything. And the men of the parish actually did a lot of the physical work. Women of the parish were very supportive of that. And being so close to the parish, you know, if father needed anything, he called our house, and my dad said, go help father or go help sister or whatever. So it was, I learned very early on a life of service to the church.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me that people with all our gifts and talents that, you know, we should come forth with our hammers or saws or whatever and help in projects around the church. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think I was born long enough ago that was just sort of a natural kind of thing for people to do. And life was a little less complicated and less busy when I was a child. So,
do you have good role models of priests at St. Mary's?
Oh, absolutely. I remember my first priest of memory was Monsignor Matthew Howard, and he was, as I guess it is the memory for a lot of Catholic boys and girls, the grade school memories of the pastor was sort of a person of, you know, sort of great power and mystery, but always seemed to be kind. Yeah. So Father Galen Shelb was another priest, Father John Burkhart, and Father Bill Johnson, who was, all those priests, again, taught me a lot of things about being involved in the work of the church. And it seemed natural and normal to me then. And it seems sometimes hard to believe that everybody doesn't just think that way.
Yeah, you know? Sure. And you attended St. Mary's School. There was a school affiliated
Correct.
With the parish.
Yeah, first through eighth grade. Kindergarten had not been discovered yet.
So. Yeah, that's right. They hadn't invented kindergarten yet. Yeah. Sisters were there teaching? Yeah,
yes, the Sisters of St. Francis of Assisi Heights. They were from Minnesota and lovely people. They were at St. Mary's and at the other Catholic parish in Portsmouth proper, Holy Redeemer, and at the high school, Notre Dame Catholic High School. So there was, and I had a lot of witness value, role models in terms of Catholic women and women religious in my life as well. So
with all those role models, the Catholic nuns, or sisters, the priests, was priesthood a thought for you as a boy?
It was a thought for me as much as I suppose it was for any Catholic boy or in my family, Catholic girl. My sister, she took her role playing priest when we celebrated Mass in the basement using Necco wafers or whatever, you know, and with a sheet that we cut a hole in from my mom's closet. But yeah, it was something that I played at us. You know, we'd put the Mass vestments away, and then we'd get out a stick or a board or something, and we'd play army. You know, so it was, it was that kind of weird, but it was a part. It was not something extraordinary to the extent that I didn't see it as part of my life. It was very much a part of my life, and I had some mention of that made to me by priests and so forth. I had two cousins that had entered the study for the priesthood. And so there was a lot of that kind of witness. My grandmother, she was three doors away from us, and it was like a second home, and she was very, very devout in her faith as well. So a lot of that kind of thing. But I didn't have any natural or firm plans of becoming a priest any more than that.
Did anyone make any observations about you as a potential priest, any of the sisters, the priests, teachers?
Not to my recollection. Of course, I've been told by my older brother that my recollection isn't always good. whatever I remember, it's always wrong. But I do remember talking or having it was then Father Kenny Grimes, later Monsignor Kenny Grimes, him talking to me about priesthood, but not in a real intense way, just a "Do you ever think about" kind of thing, which is it's something good to do. It's an activity that I enter into with kids as well. I say that to them because the idea has to be presented so that it isn't excluded by people.
That's right. And it seems back in the day it was a normal conversation piece, but not so much now. But we all of us, as lay people as well, we need to be also looking around and making those.
Yeah, I would agree that Elizabeth, that it's not something that is done as much. And that's really one of the most simplest things besides prayer for vocations that you can do as far as opening up ideas and the doors for vocation to young men and women.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for high school, you attended Notre Dame Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. And high school is a time when, you know, kids are thinking about what they want to do with their lives. So what was on your radar as you were approaching high school graduation? What were you thinking about doing next and with your life?
Well, I was thinking about teaching high school mathematics. That's what I intended to do when I applied for my undergraduate college work, which was at the University of Cincinnati, and that's sort of what I wanted to do. I loved math, and it was one of those things that was very much essential. I had some good math teachers, and I think all of them Sisters of St. Francis, and Sister Regina, and Sister Ruth. They embedded some things in me as far as mathematics were concerned, and so it's amazing, I think, how God uses other things to call you to where he wants you to be. And ultimately, that's what life is for us anyway. Life is us doing what seems to be our purpose until we discover that our real purpose is, you know, lies in God. You know, so I think that's how God got me into mathematics and the University of Cincinnati, which is where the rest of the story unfolded.
We're talking with Father Thomas Petrie. He's the pastor of St. Anthony Parish in Columbus, and he's our guest today, sharing his vocation story on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Father Petrie, you're in University of Cincinnati studying mathematics. Sometimes those 4 years of college can challenge a person's faith. People sometimes kind of fall away from that. What was your college experience like, would you say, spiritually speaking?
Well, there was that challenge because, you know, first time really on my own, away from home and away from the regular attendance at weekly Sunday Mass and the closeness of the parish. And so there, I saw a lot of people who were Catholic that didn't attend. It was challenging, but I had the good fortune of attending St. George Church on Calhoun Street in Cincinnati. And it was a wonderful experience, and I encountered there Father Dacian Batt, who was a Franciscan friar, and I say without any hesitation, the happiest person I think I've ever met in my life, and a priest, and entered into a lot of conversations with Father Dacian, and it was one of the most moving things, and that's where I think the seed began to sprout for vocation. And I wasn't even conscious of it then. It's just to be around somebody who is happy in their life and you see the unfolding of that life in terms of service to God and church and liturgy. That was just that was a place where I encountered liturgy that was just absolutely joyous. And
Father Batt sounds like the perfect priest you want on every college campus, you know, a happy, joyful person in love with the Lord and in love with what he's doing, and because he's around all these young people, you know, so you were so blessed to have that example. Did since he was a Franciscan, did that kind of pique your interest about possibly Franciscan life?
Well, it's very strange. I actually saw it was a Time magazine. I'm not sure what the exact magazine was, but it was a secular magazine. And I saw an advertisement. This was in Cincinnati, which is very Catholic territory. Mm-hmm. And an advertisement said, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And it was actually an advertisement of the Franciscan Order. And there was a number there, and I called the number, and it was the vocations director for the Franciscan Order. And eventually he came to visit me in my apartment, and we talked, and that was probably the first real direct sense of maybe this is what I really need to do or want to do, or what God wants me to do, and it was the beginning of I think in earnest my vocation.
And we know today how the story unfolds that you did not end up becoming a Franciscan. So what happened, you know, that would start to turn your head towards the diocesan idea, or even just still priesthood in general, because you weren't 100% sure at this point?
No. I talked with the vocations director, the Franciscans in Cincinnati, and I visited with them, and I talked to a number of the Franciscans in the Cincinnati area. And I also went and talked to the associate pastor at St. Mary's in Portsmouth, my home parish, who at the time was Father Ted Thomas. Mm-hmm. And wonderful, happy memory. And Ted talked to me. And, of course, you know, there's a little continuity there because Ted's probably one of the happiest priests I've ever met in the diocese.
Great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. But a great priest. And he sort of filled in the picture as far as diocesan priesthood was concerned for me. And that's where I sort of understood that, you know, I had to try it out somehow. And Father Thomas was the one who connected me to Father Thomas Schoenbarger. You know, so a lot of Thomases.
Yeah, I know. I'm noticing there's a path here, Father Thomas Petrie.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is, you know, my feast day is coming up on July 3rd.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Thomas the Apostle. So, and tomorrow is the Feast of Thomas More. So we're just...
it's a season for Thomases.
There you go.
Share the story of the night at UC when you kind of were walking the campus and trying to figure out, what am I doing next, Lord?
Yeah, well, that was a... It was a it was a horrible and wonderful moment at the same time. It was just one of those moments where I didn't know. I'd gone as far as I could go, and it was like, how do you take the next step? And I'd spent a lot of time talking to my sister Anne, who had been taken temporary vows as a member of the Franciscans of Rochester, Minnesota. And she had come out, and she was then attending University of Cincinnati. So I talked to her a lot, and she was a great faith guide for me. And I talked to her, and then I still didn't know. And I wondered that whole, it was a Friday night, a party night. And I was walking around, all these people partying, and I was just sort of wandering and walking and sitting on benches and praying. It's a nice, warm May night. And towards the morning, and for me, sunrises are very important. And towards the morning, it was like a peace that settled on. And I said, Lord, I guess I will never know unless I try. And it's funny, God sometimes uses our own words to speak to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not the last time that happened to me in my life.
Yeah. He definitely inspires thoughts like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, so often prayer becomes this conversation that I have with myself that God listens into, and, you know, and then I find me saying something myself, but I've had the uncanny experience of it not being me speaking.
Yes.
My mouth, my breath, but not my words. And that's not the last time in my priesthood that I experienced that. And but it's certain and sure.
So you'll never know until you try would mean for you to go ahead and enter the seminary where really discernment takes place. So 1974 is when you enter the Josephinum, as a first-year theology student because you had already done philosophy requirements in undergrad. And, you know, sometimes seminary can be times of twists and turns and more challenges. How would you describe your years of seminary?
Well, they were eventful. They were. I learned so many things. So much information about the Scripture and the sacraments. But I also learned a lot about the interactions within the church. We had, you know, some discussions and some disagreements with regard to the staff that was at the Josephinum, and particularly the spiritual direction was being transformed and changed at the time, and it was a lot of turmoil, but when I was going through it, I can tell you it didn't feel so wonderful. But 40 years later, looking back on my life and on other people's lives, I realized that so many wonderful things happen in the midst of turmoil. Yeah. You know, that even the church in its first crisis in Jerusalem, it found its footing in the midst of disagreement, and that's a encouraging kind of thing.
Yeah, and it'll always be in turmoil. That's just the nature.
We're not finished. God's not finished.
So working through that turmoil is where those, like you say, those gifts come out, those lessons come out.
Yeah, and those were good lessons as far as the nature of the church was concerned, and I certainly felt stronger for it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you were ordained on June 4th, 1978, by Bishop Edward Herman down at Portsmouth St. Mary of the Annunciation Church, the church that you grew up in the shadow of, and that was 40 years ago. What do you remember most about your ordination day?
So many wonderful things. I remember that both my cousins, who were priests of the diocese at the time, were there and you know, imposed hands on me. That was significant. I remember that my mother and my father vested me in my stole and chasuble, which was significant. I remember that Father Dacian Batt, who was sort of the one who kicked me off on my way as far as priesthood discernment was concerned, that he drove from Dayton, Ohio, all the way probably 2.5 hours to Portsmouth. Got out of the car, got into line, attended my ordination, blessed me, and put his hands on my head in imposition, and then when the service was over, he came up to me, asked for my blessing, and then left again.
Wow!
Just shared with me the very best, which is that life at the altar.
I'm going to give our listeners a snapshot of your four decades as a priest. You know, priests can serve in pastoral ministry, chaplain, teaching, and you kind of did it all, which is great. I think God granted your desire to teach, which, remember, you're sharing about teaching when you first went to college, and you did get to teach at Marian Catholic High School. You served as a chaplain at Kenyon College and Mount Vernon State Institute, as well as a hospital chaplain to Riverside and St. Anthony Medical Center. So you had all those roles. And then as a pastor, you know, well, first as a parochial vicar, you know, you were in Mount Vernon, St. Vincent de Paul, St. Mary Church, Columbus St. Peter Church. You were an assistant at Church of the Resurrection, that's in New Albany, and then pastor at St. Dominic's, at St. Augustine's and St. Gabriel, and now at St. Anthony's, where you've been quite a while. How many years now for St. Anthony's?
10 years.
10 years, right here in Columbus. So that's a lot. But what would you say are some of the highlights of the ways that you've been able to, that God has used you to serve this diocese? What are some highlights as you look back over those 40 years?
Well, I think my first pastorate, and I think for priests, generally, your first pastorate is very special. And mine was incredibly special. It was a very good parish, and it was an African-American Catholic parish, still is. And that was quite a challenge to be forced to look at the world and the church and the faith from the perspective of an African-American person, and realize that doesn't weaken it at all, that it the faith took on an incredible depth and richness that it had not had before because of that experience of so I think that's one of the most beautiful things. The other thing that I've been blessed to be in parishes that largely are not as wealthy, and I think to see the wonderful gift that people make from the simplicity of their lives is overwhelming.
So, yeah, the parish that you're in now, the St. Anthony's, is also a diverse parish.
Oh, absolutely.
So what describe that for people who might not be familiar with St. Anthony's?
Well, St. Anthony's has an aging population in one regard, but also a very young population in another. A lot of people have come here from Africa, a lot of immigrants from Africa, and a lot of from all sorts of African nations, as well as some from the Philippines. Just an incredible richness and diversity, so that I can't ever really get bored with looking at the faith from just one perspective. It's a challenge, but like we just said a few minutes ago, that turmoil and challenge is not a bad thing. It actually forces us to find the depth of what's there.
Yeah, and I love that about our church, that is big enough and diverse enough that, you know, right here in our own diocese, we're going to go to a mass in Spanish, or a mass for people from Ghana, or a mass Vietnamese, whatever. It's there, African American gospel mass, and we have it right here, just in our own diocese. So that's a beautiful thing. Do you have, Father, as you look back at the 40 years, and do you have any you know, dreams or you know, future pilgrimages you'd like to take, or anything you haven't done yet in your priesthood that you'd still like to do?
Mm. Well, you know, I'm getting long in the tooth, you know, and everybody's talking about retirement, and I'm not really thinking about that. You know, I'm 66 now, and I would just be happy to continue doing what I'm doing and what I think God wants me to do as long as I can. I'm sure I'd love to go back to Assisi. I'd love to go to the Holy Land.
Yes.
You know, I've been to both of those places, and they just were magical. So those are the kinds of things, I guess, that I would do. But mostly just let me say Mass and leave me alone.
Yeah. Have you ever been in an audience with the Pope at all? Have you been, you know?
Along with 10,000 other of his best friends, you know?
Yeah, right.
Pope Benedict.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
How wonderful.
Yeah. So, but it's, I did have a very wonderful, wonderful time in Rome with touring there. And I was blessed to be led around by a Marianist priest that had lived in Rome for 10 years. And he was celebrating his 50th anniversary. Mm.
Yeah,
a religious profession. So,
that's beautiful. Last question for you, Father. What advice would you give maybe a young man who's considering the priesthood today?
I think what I would say to them is go and talk to someone, you know, that talk to as many people as you can, you know, certainly pray. Realize that some people, that there are many voices in this world and that some voices will be discouraging to a religious vocation, but look for people that will help you to find out the answers that you have, because all you really have to do is pay attention to the questions you have inside of you. Mm-hmm. And those questions are put there by God. And if you pay attention to those questions, they will lead you to the right place. St. Augustine tells us this.
That's right.
Our hearts are restless until they rest in you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, as we said in the beginning, like your prayer response you heard in Cincinnati, you know, you'll never know until you try.
Absolutely.
And so take those steps forward. Father Thomas Petrie, it's been a joy to have you on the program. Can you leave us with your blessing, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gracious Lord, we thank and praise you for all that you've done for us. And we ask your blessing upon we are gathered here in this studio and all the people that are connected to the few of us that are gathered here and all the concerns that each and every one of us have been touched by and all the things we might be worried about this day. There are so many people in need in our world, Lord, and we pray that you'd bless us and allow what we do to in some way improve your world, your kingdom for those that we might encounter. We ask this blessing upon those gathered here and upon all who might hear these words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Father Thomas Petrie. Congratulations on your 40 years. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host of Answering the Call. Join us on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another edition. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancte Spiritus, Veni Penaria. O God, who bows